everyone. He is the peace in our troubled sea, and he will bring us safe to shore. Let's just pause and recenter our thoughts. May the word shared this morning be heard, be in our hearts. Amen. Jesus has a half-brother named James, who wrote the book of James after Stephen had been martyred and Christians were scattered throughout the Roman Empire. James had the opportunity to share with Jesus before his death and again after his death, observing the wounds of his hands and feet and side. Can you imagine growing up with Jesus in your house? James had spent a lot of time in prayer. I read somewhere that his knees were calloused because he was constantly in prayer. He wondered who he was to have such an amazing older brother. He knew the Jewish Christians would have difficulties facing new people, understanding new customs and new languages and new lifestyles as they were pushed out into the world and traveling around the world. So he, in his words, were encouraging the handling of stress with joy. Not if they would face trials, but when they would face trials, would they be able to handle the stress and live with joy. As I read from James 1, there's an initial greeting, and then there is a section that is subtitled. In different Bibles, it's subtitled different ways. So in one Bible, when you get to verse 3, it's subtitled faith and endurance, and in another Bible, it's subtitled trials and temptations. I found that interesting and thought about that. Jesus was writing as the brother of the Lord. He focused on sharing about the need for Christianity to be worked out every day in our lives. Listen as I share from James 1, 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We will face trials and temptations. Our goal is to face them with faith and endurance. Don't pretend, but have a very positive outlook as you begin each day. James is considered a pillar of the church, and yet he considers himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are servants of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though James is written for the 12 tribes of the Jewish Christians, it is readily applicable to all circumstances across the many cultures of all times. He writes that we as servants in Christ need to be patient and understand our suffering for what it is. It's a tool, an instrument that God uses to perfect us to his glory. Sometimes that's hard to really grasp hold of. Suffering is an instrument that God uses to perfect us to his glory. Our faith needs to grow and develop so that it is the first thing that we turn to when we face stress or when we are under pressure of the world. When you face stress, What comes out of your mouth?
What goes in.
What goes in. When you face the stress of what's out there, what you're taking in, what comes out. Absolutely. There are a host of problems in today's world, and we will encounter them along the way. God has you planted where you are as a living seed for God's word. I think about my sons. Matthew had seizures as a child, and Bradley had leukemia as a child. And I wonder how I still have hair. Like, I know it's turned gray, but I keep thinking the stress that I went through and the wondering, and if I didn't have God, how would I have gotten through that? And they're doing very well, and I'm so blessed. But at the time, the questions, will they survive this? Will we find the right doctors? How will their education, you know, be affected? Little things like, are they even going to be able to play sports? I mean, it just kind of went from big to little. If I didn't have God, I don't know how I would have gone forward. And it pushed me toward my faith, and I allowed it to push me toward my faith. Pastor Joe Fox shared with his congregation the toothpaste example, and this is kind of what Sandra brought up as well. What goes in? All right, think about the tube of toothpaste. When you squeeze it, what comes out?
Toothpaste.
You're right. Because that is what went in it during the processing of making it. Think about what comes out of us when we're squeezed under pressure, when we're squeezed under sadness, when we're squeezed under anxiety. Is it the stuff that went in? If we're not reading our Bibles, if we're not growing in faith, if we're not talking to our Christian friends, could it be anger, anxiety, lies? Is that what's going to come out of us when we feel that stress? When we feel that panic? See, what you put in will be what comes out. It's called the toothpaste example. Logical? It makes sense? Let patience have its perfect work. Our actions and reactions are the majority of our communication. Our attitude will speak loudly in our voices and our body language. I asked someone if they would run into the store. I'll drive to the store. I'll go get gas. You run into the store and pick this up. When I get gas, I'll come back and I'll pick you up, because my life is kind of like in fast pace this last week. But when I said, will you run in and pick this up out of the store, the body language was, never mind, I'll do it. So even our body language, right, our facial expressions carry what we're thinking, and we need to be aware of that. When we listen to the word and watch other Christians live, become doers of the word, our lives will become filled with stuff, sometimes piles of stuff, and our attitude will change. Our attitude will suffer. We are challenged to work toward living in the likeness of Christ. We will learn and live through a lot of stuff that will enable us to act and learn not to react. Look deeper. Be assured that God is involved, working steadily in your lives. All you need to do is to turn toward Him. When we are squeezed under pressure and we are walking with Jesus, His ways will become what is at the surface. His ways will come to the surface when we are facing these trials and walking with faith. There and then you will see, and those around you will see and hear, patience and love and forgiveness and prayer and endurance. A quality of patience is developed through difficult times that is pleasing to God. I can remember being curled up on the hospital bed and just praying that they would find a way to stop Matthew's seizures. He was 3 years old, and they would take him to another room for medicine, shots, and things like that. And so I asked his father to take him because I was a crying mess. And I just curled up in the bed and I just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for God's grace, for Matthew's health, for the doctors and the nurses. And then there was a sense of peace after that. I felt warm. I felt at peace. God's goal is to mature us and to complete us so that we are lacking nothing. So that we are lacking nothing. Continue to be gracious with each other as each time we stand firm in our faith during trials, we experience greater endurance. Remember to turn to God first through prayer, through reading your Bible. Turn with renewed trust and joy to Jesus in the difficult times. When we turn to God according to his will, he will hear us and he will answer us. 1 John 5:14-15 reads, "This is the confidence we will have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for." I shared last week that I had gone to a funeral for Doug Schaefer, and his life was not easy at times, but he was a very faithful man. And so at his funeral, people shared that they saw God in him. People shared how they knew he was a Christian and how he loved and cared for others. God will hear us and he will answer us. And people are watching us. James 1:5-8. "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. The Lord should not expect to receive that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." Ask God for wisdom to deal with your trials as Jesus would have. Ask for wisdom beyond your wildest dreams. Think about what you are doing or not doing to cooperate with God's plan for your life. Commit this week to take some action to cooperate with God in achieving maturity in your faith walk. Ask for something big this week. See what happens. He wants you to ask. Persistence in prayer is not enough. We must partner our prayers with faith. God loves us and wants us to live a life just as his son Jesus lived. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? We're not going to get there. But striving to get there, asking for things that we need, will bring us joy. A double-minded person is someone who wavers in his or her faith. As a person grows in faith, it becomes possible to cultivate joy amid trials. When my parents came to visit my boys when they were in the hospital and I was in the hospital, I was able to smile and say, "God's in control. God's at work here. God's working with these doctors." By myself, I would cry and pray and pray. But when others came down, I gave them hope. I hope I gave them hope and a belief that Jesus is in control. Romans 15:13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God is willing to provide for all we need. All we need to do is ask. He requires that we ask for what we need in an attitude of faith, of having a commitment to Him alone. When we do not firmly believe in God, we are as unstable as the waves of the sea, blown here and there and not anchored. The song I guess Eloise chose them this morning. My lighthouse, you are the peace in my troubled sea. When we firmly believe in God, we are stable. When we do not firmly believe, we are unstable. Having a firm reliance on God who gives us his wisdom, knowing God will answer, allows us to float like a cork on top of the waves, safely to the shore, led by God, led by the lighthouse. Our responsibility is to ask that our needs be met in faith, and that others' needs be met in faith. James 1, 9 through 11. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms fall, and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. According to 1 Timothy 6:10, money itself is not evil. It is the love of money that produces all kinds of evil. Riches will fade quickly, and we should not wear ourselves out trying to keep them or acquire them. Be aware of the attitudes that may develop toward Jesus when one is wealthy. Perhaps one may think there is no need for God, their own riches are sufficient for them. Or perhaps one may think that their money is too important to them, that they refuse to share with church or with those less fortunate. Perhaps the person who deals with the pressure of poverty, if they didn't suffer from poverty, they may never have turned to Jesus for help. They may never have accepted Christ as his or her Savior. If we did not experience trials, more than likely we would not have learned how to draw nearer to God and to fully depend on Him. Our faith is strengthened as we endure each trial. James has offered wisdom into the understanding of how believers should respond to temptations and trials so that spiritual growth may occur. God is the only source for the kind of wisdom that enables us to understand and learn from our trials. Will we be sad and cry and not understand? Absolutely. Do we need to slow down and pray and ponder and then possibly recognize why things happen? It might take 10 years. You may never know, but the next generation may learn from what tragedy or trial you've experienced. Charles Spurgeon writes, God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water or deprive the sun of its light or make space too narrow than diminish the great mercy of God. He is full of mercy. And when things are going wrong, then grace presents itself. Through prayer, you will find grace presenting itself peacefully. Whatever your source of pain, know that God loves you. He loves us, and he wants to heal us. James encourages us to keep our spiritual perspective by keeping in touch with our loving Father. We are encouraged to keep riding on top of the tide, turning to God. God promises us wisdom and blessings beyond our understanding when we trust in Him. We will be provided with a victory, and we will be given the opportunity to bring victory to others. Amen. We will bring victory to others through our endurance and through our faith. This is from my devotional, Jesus Today. Jesus says, "True hope comes from me. Ask me to give you discernment as you seek to walk along a hopeful path. Many people will call out to you. Do not be deceived. Learn to be wise and alert when you are trying to process all the information before you. Break free from information overload by refocusing your thoughts on me. As you rest in my peaceful presence, true hope grows within you." His peaceful presence is here. What a privilege for us to sit here in his presence, to take the opportunity to slow down, to recognize the need to turn to him, to ponder what we will pray, what will we will read this week, who can we reach out to this week, how can we serve others. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are with us in all situations. Thank you for the gift of prayer. Allow us to pray confidently, knowing that you hear us and you will answer us. Provide the patience needed, as the answers will come in your time. Allow us to have open eyes to see and learn from the answers. Thank you for forgiving our sins and for always being ready to stand with us and help us begin again. Father, we do lift up the teachers and the children at this time as they prepare for another school year. Be with them. Allow them to feel your love and your confidence. Be with those who are not feeling well. Be with the families providing support. We ask these things in your name. Amen.